Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Clive Urquhart.
It's great to have questions, isn't it? Because when you've got questions, it's like, I want to know more. What is this all about? Who are you? And what does this mean? I want to hear your voice more. And it's important because, you know, when you've got questions, you're growing. You're seeking. You know, when we run out of questions, we just check your pulse, you know, and just check that you're alive. But, and it's great. I met a bunch of guys at the Alpha Celebration on Sunday night that was happening here. And Sean was one of the guys here, a number of others. Just amazing hearing the stories of what God is doing in people's lives. People giving their lives to Him, people getting filled with the Spirit, just people being set free from various things. And, you know, God is at work and God is on the move, and it's really exciting. And I just want to thank all of the guys that were on the Alpha team. I know some of you are sitting here and dotted around the room. I know there's quite a lot of people not here today, so it's probably because we've got a carol service tonight, so everybody's having a lie-in, I think. And but just really want to thank and appreciate all of the Alpha team. You guys, amazing, amazing, amazing. How the environment you create, just getting into the conversations, not minding any kind of questions that you get asked, and just giving people the space to explore and allow God to actually touch people's lives and speak to them in the midst of all of the conversations. So there's first steps starting on the 12th of January. There's a whole number of people off the back of Alpha, those that have given their lives to the Lord, some that haven't yet, but they just want to know more. They're going to be starting First Steps on the 12th of January. And then we've got another Alpha course starting on the 12th of January as well. We've already got, I don't know, about a dozen or more people signed up for that. So if just to be aware of that over the Christmas season, especially locally, if you've got friends or family or people that you know and you want to invite them to come on the 12th of January to Alpha, then we're launching another one. And I think these are just going to build more and more because there's more and more people who want to know, more and more people are open. So let's keep our lives like this, you know, for people around us, not just like this. And just let's keep the blinkers off so that we're aware of people around us. And it's like, hey, you know, do you want to come to Alpha? I'll take you. And Jane's bringing someone on the 12th. She's going to be an Alpha buddy for someone and bring them. And it just helps someone to take that step. Over the line, as it were, to begin to step into all that God wants to do. Brilliant. Okay, so this morning we're going to be looking at Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7 as part of our Names of God kind of series that we've been doing all through the autumn. And what's the primary reason that we've been going through the names of God? Well, firstly, because as a leadership, we felt that's what the Lord wanted us to do. But also, why are we really doing it? Because God wants us to know Him. God wants us to know Him. Not just know about Him, but know Him. And we've been looking at different names of who He is, because in that He reveals more of who He is. And when He reveals more of who He is, then the different facets and innate aspects of His character come alive in us. And then we begin to relate to Him and know Him in that way. We begin to live in the good of all that He is in those ways. We've been looking at Him being Yahweh, which was the first week, which really Yahweh means I am. Actually, when God said that to Moses, He actually said, I am. So, and when God reiterates something like that, it's like, pay attention, but pay attention twice as much as you normally would. And when He introduced Himself, He didn't just say, I am. He said, I am. And Moses knew at that moment, you are God. There's no equivalent. There's no arguments. You are God. And Jesus in John chapter 8, I think it was, I think it is verse 58. At one point in a conversation, He also says, I am. Lots of people say Jesus isn't God, He's just the Son of God. That's a big thing going around at the moment. with people saying, well, God is just Father, Jesus is the Son, and the Holy Spirit is just the Spirit of God, but they're not God. And tell me where Jesus says, I am God. And well, John 8, 58, Jesus says there, I am. And that I had, you know, even the other day, somebody say to me, up in London on the crosswalk, yeah, but that's not that. But Jesus isn't saying he's God. And it's like, this is somebody of another faith, all right? That was, and it's like, well, if you understand the Bible, God calls himself I am. Calls himself God. Jesus called himself I am. He is the living God. There is no other. We've been looking at him being the Father, him being the healer, him being our provider and provision, that he's our sanctifier, he's our husband, he's our redeemer, he's the Lord of hosts, he's our breakthrough, he's our banner and our victory. There's loads of different aspects of who he is. And why do we want to know him that way? Because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Has anybody noticed that you get bombarded quite a lot in life? With negativity, with there's a lot of stuff. How many have got a lot of stuff that goes on up here? Yeah. Or is it only me? Have you guys sussed it? And you know, but there's so much stuff that goes on up here to try and tear us down, pull us down, cause us to feel rubbish, not believe stuff, try and knock us off here, knock us off there, and everything. And yet, this book, the Living Word, as we read it, as we study it, as we look at who God is, who is the one that is in us? He is greater than he that is in the world. Something begins to happen on the inside of us when we look at who he is and the one that we are in relationship with. And what does that mean then, being a child of God and him being our Father, him being our Lord of hosts, him being our healer or provider or sanctifier or husband or redeemer or our breakthrough? It's because God wants us to know him, that in every moment of our life where we need him to be who he is for whatever it is in that moment in our lives, we know who he is for that moment. Amen. Because he wants us to walk with him, and he knows that life can be tough. He knows that stuff goes on. And he knows that we can't just face life and overcome it in our own strength. But he knows that we need him to be an overcomer. So we're going to jump into Isaiah verse 9. And we're primarily going to look at two of the names in here this morning. We touched on it last week, going to do a little bit more on that this week and then flow into what we're going to look at this morning. So let's just read Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government is upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government, his rule and reign, and his peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Oh, don't you love that? Well, there's loads in there. Now, we know this is the Christmas season, and this verse 6 is used a lot, especially in carols and around this time. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. So Jesus came as the Son of God to be the Savior of mankind. But then it says the government will be on his shoulders. That's the government is the government of heaven. All authority, Jesus said in Matthew 28, in heaven and earth have been given to me. So the government will be on his shoulders. And in that, he's called a number of things. So we're going to jump into Wonderful Counselor, first of all. Now, we touched on some of this last week. But Wonderful Counselor, the word for counselor in Hebrew is yoetz. okay? And that word means wise advisor. It means king. It means guidance. But it's not just natural wisdom or natural guidance. The word counselor there is a word for divine, supernatural, perfect guidance that is not of human origin. So when it describes Jesus and the word wonderful there, we're so used to this word, oh, that's wonderful, that's wonderful. Well, what we mean by that is, oh, that's awesome, that's great, that's brilliant. But with this word here, wonderful, is not just saying, oh, that's a wonderful thing there. The word wonderful there is talking about a supernatural person. Yeah. It's talking about a divine person that is not of human origin. And in there, this perfect guidance, it means God providing unfailing counsel, cutting through all the confusion to show the right path. This is what it means for him to be our wonderful counselor. Oh, sorry, I've missed something out. The word wonderful here, Pele. Well, he was a wonderful footballer, wasn't he? But this word wonderful, Pele, so I'm getting mixed up here. The word wonderful means marvelous, extraordinary, beyond comprehension, divine power. So if that's the word for wonderful, again, describing something supernatural, extraordinary, something of divine power, Pele, wonderful, and then counselor, sorry, divine, supernatural, perfect guidance, not of human origin. If you put those two things together, the name wonderful counselor, it means divine power to bring his divine order. Don't you love that? So when we read that at Christmas often and we go, oh, he's the wonderful counselor, he's the mighty God and all of that, what it means is he's God's divine power to bring divine order. Now, fit that into the context of the verses there where it's talking about unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders. We understand then why the word wonderful counselor is so important there, because it's talking about God's rule and reign coming to earth through Jesus the Savior so that we can be saved and brought into relationship with him, brought into the relationship with this wonderful counselor who brings God's divine power into our lives to bring his divine order so that we can live as the people he's called us to be. Yes. Don't you love that? Yes. Three of you, brilliant. And so within that, God's perfect guidance, him being the counselor, he provides this unfailing counsel, cutting through all the confusion to show the right path. How many of you know that you need God as the wonderful counselor in the days that we're in? Yes. How many, we need him as our wonderful counselor. We need his perfect, unfailing counsel so that we walk on the right path. Another aspect to him being that this wonderful counselor is his supernatural strength, this supernatural nature of being the counselor. His counsel empowers people to overcome issues and problems and find peace. Wow. When you do a study of that Hebrew word, yoetz, because of the supernatural nature, what I've written there is literally what the supernatural strength of God does. And it includes his peace. His counsel empowers people to overcome issues and problems and find peace. The world needs peace. Peace is not just the absence of trouble and turbulence. Peace is a relationship with a person. Peace is not just an absence of war. Now we have peace. There might be a natural peace in that way, but we're not talking about a natural peace. We're talking about a supernatural peace, the nature and the character of God and who he is in our lives. The woman at the well in John chapter 4, she found this supernatural strength and peace when in this conversation of Jesus asking her for a drink of water and then Jesus is obviously not talking about natural water, which she thought he was asking at first. Then it went on to another depth, a level of conversation, And she ends up saying, are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we've been waiting for? And he said, I am he. And it's in that conversation that all of the turbulence, all of the angst, all of the trouble, all of the turmoil in her life, as she has a truth encounter with the wonderful counselor, something changes on the inside of her. How do we know that? Because she runs back to the town as someone who is an outcast in the town, rejected in her own community because of her lifestyle. She runs back into the town shouting, hey, come and see this man that's told me everything that I've ever done. But she starts with, could this man be the Messiah? Could this man be the one? Because something had shifted on the inside of her. Just pop in at that moment. Interesting how the disciples, when they came back, it's like, what are you doing talking to that woman in the middle of the day? If she's out here getting what in the middle of the day, there's a reason for that, Jesus. What are you doing? But Jesus didn't reject her because of her lifestyle. Jesus engaged with her. In that engagement, he didn't just have a natural conversation with her. There was a supernatural conversation. Something of the Spirit of God was at work in Jesus to ask the questions that led to a truth encounter for this lady. He didn't judge her. He didn't condemn her. He didn't criticize her. What he did, he spoke into the depth of her being with the love of the Father who wanted to heal her and set her free. Recently, when Jane was speaking, she spoke about from Acts chapter 10 about Peter and Cornelius. And I believe that story is so, so important at the moment. The angel appeared to Cornelius, didn't he? And said, send for Peter. Cornelius, being a Gentile Roman soldier, sends for Peter, the Jew, to come and speak to the Roman household and all his friends. And while he sends people on the way, excuse me, three servants, two of them probably being Jewish, the other one we know because of what it says was a Roman soldier, a Gentile. And while they're on their way, Peter's on the roof of his house praying. And while he's praying, the sheet comes down from heaven and God says to Peter, get up, kill and eat. And he's like, I can't. I've never eaten anything unclean that's anything would defile me. And three times God said, get up, kill and eat. And then the sheep went up. And while Peter is trying to get his head around this, he's like, I can't eat anything unclean. What's God trying to say to me? What's he doing right now? He's telling me to do something that would make me unclean. And in Peter's mind. But in that, God said to him, don't call anything unclean that I'm calling clean. Don't call anything unholy that I'm calling holy. So God speaks to him quite clearly in that moment. Then while he's pondering this, there's the knock at the door. The guys arrive and God says to Peter, go down, meet these guys and go with them. And when he goes down there, he invites them into his home. Now for Peter to invite those guys into his home, especially the Gentile guy, that would have made him and his home unclean. That's where he was at that moment. He was trying to, this is in Acts chapter 10 in the New Testament. And it's a long chapter. And I think it's a long chapter, long story, because it's a big pivotal moment in the early church, a big shift in the early church. And we are in quite a pivotal moment as the church in this nation at the moment. There's quite a pivotal shift going on. There's lots of fragmentation. There's lots of arguing. There's lots of opposite. There's lots of stuff going on. And I'll come to that in a minute. But Peter knew that to reach Cornelius and to go and preach to a whole bunch of Gentiles, God was going to need to shift Peter's heart. So that he was going to be open and not judge them or say, well, I can't go there because they're this. And he invites these guys in. They stay the night. And the next day, Peter goes with them along with some of the guys that work with Peter. Then they go to Cornelius' house. They arrive. They go into a Gentile's house. And even to do that, for the Jews, it's like, well, we wouldn't do this because this makes us unclean. And how do we know that? Because when Peter preaches to them, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Peter says, well, even the Holy Spirit is coming upon these Gentiles. And he says, God told me, showed me, spoke to me. This is the story he tells them, as well as preaching the gospel. And he said to me not to call anything unholy that God has made holy and unclean that God is making clean. And so there's a shift going on at the moment in Peter's heart and life. Now, why is this so important at this time with everything going on in our nation? There's a lot being said at the moment about, you know, Islam, Muslims, about anti-Semitism, about far right, far left, Christian nationalism. There's loads of stuff going on at the moment. And if we don't look at everything with the eyes, with God's eyes and with his heart, what you'll find coming up in you at different moments, if people are talking about Islam and Muslims, right? And the way, there's loads of different things being said at the moment about what could happen in the nation and this and that and the other. And if you're not careful, you find this thing rising up in you that is a bit like, oh, we don't like Muslims or we're anti-Muslims and all that kind of thing. There's a lot about Jewish people and Israel at the moment. And if you're not careful, lots of stuff can rise up that without realizing could be anti-Semitic. There's a lot being said about people that have been far right and people coming to know Jesus and becoming Christians. And it's like, well, hang on a minute, that's all kind of mixed up in Christian nationalism and isn't it? And all of that kind of thing. There's people on the far left that, as far as, you know, if God can speak to a guy called Cornelius and send an angel to him, if God can speak to another guy called Peter to get his heart ready to engage with a whole load of people that he didn't think he would engage with, we must not allow ourselves to think that God is not speaking to people in our nation, in different cultures, different faiths, different political persuasions, different lifestyles.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We don't know who God is speaking to and revealing himself to at this moment, today, this morning, in our community, in our town, where we live, in our nation.
Yes. Yeah.
And if we live like this, we're going to miss some of what God is doing. We're not going to be ready for the people that God wants us to engage with and reach out to and love and spend time with, because God just wants anybody that is available. Somebody that won't criticize, judge, condemn, or say, well, sorry, they don't fit my paradigm of a person that I would connect with or think is a believer. Are we there this morning? This is really, really important in the day and the hour that we're in, okay? We're, as the church, we're called to love people. We're called to love people. Jesus died once and he died for all. So if he died once and he died for all, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So Jesus gave his life for you and me. And we lived our lives hating God, not wanting to know God, but he still went to the cross to do what he did for us, so that whatever moment you did turn around and say, Jesus, forgive me, immediately he came and forgave and set our lives, turned our lives, amen. So we want to make sure that, like Jesus with the woman at the well, we have to be honest with ourselves at this time, the time that we're in. We have to make sure there's nothing going on in us that we even look at someone. And there's thoughts that then go through your mind. And if you suddenly catch yourself, you're thinking, hang on a minute, what's actually going through my mind? What's going through my mind is, oh, there's a Muslim, ooh. Or you could be walking along, and there's not many Jewish people with all because they're ultra-Orthodox, those guys. But you could see a Jewish person, and you don't know, some people might go, oh, he's a Jewish person. You know, thank you, Father, you reveal who you are to them or whatever. But you could have he's a Jewish guy. What's he doing here? Well, who knows what goes on in our hearts? But it's those little things that go on in us that if we stop for a moment, will hinder us from, first of all, praying for people and reaching out to people, loving people, making space in our lives for people. Anyway, that's a bit of an aside to the message, but it's just really important at the moment. Just say this as well. Yesterday, there was this massive carol service in London organised by Tommy Robinson, okay? Now, some of us in the room might be going, yeah, but he's whatever, la, 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 so blank that completely. Other people might be the other thing going, wow, isn't it amazing? It's awesome. Look at that. I mean, la, 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 you know. And there might be some going, was it a good thing or wasn't it a good thing? I mean, can somebody tell me whether it's a good thing or not? How many of you are asking questions? Was it good? Wasn't it? Some are going, yeah, great. Some are going, oh, I don't like it because it's him. The Church of England obviously didn't like what was going on because they are trying to, you know, whatever, do what they do. Let's put it this way. God is on the move. When God is moving, things get messy. When God is moving, sometimes all the edges get blurred. When God is moving, we like nice middle class Christianity. Let's keep it nice and tidy, nice and neat. Let's not get messy. Let you know, God work within all my frameworks and how I would want it to be. Is there anybody like that in here? Or is it just me, right? You know, when God begins to move. So for Peter, God says, get up, kill and eat. And he's like, I can't do that. I've never done that. What are you doing? See, God's moving. And how he's moving is different than how we might think it would look. What I love about what God's doing in the nation, it's not based around loads of meetings in churches. It's not like revival nights, one after the other. And it's just hot spots of meetings, 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 meetings like that. And everybody thinks that's what revival is. No, God is moving in our nation and he's reaching people that often we don't know how to reach. So don't write off, I'm not saying this or that or in the middle about yesterday. What I'm saying is God is moving. There are people talking about Jesus that a few years ago would never have spoken about Jesus. How many of you, when the day you gave your life to Jesus, you were suddenly the perfect Christian that you are today? Has anybody, right? Some of these people that are professing Jesus and Christ and all of that, they're not going to do that unless something is happening in their lives, okay? They're on a journey. So please don't write off all these people. It's messy. God is moving. Yes, there's some other stuff within it that makes it complicated and messy. There's some nationalism in there. There's a bit of politics in there. And all that stuff that can make the Christian message a little bit, can muddy the Christian message, right? But if you look at some of the things online, some of the people, they were preaching the gospel. Some of the people that they'd asked to speak. So why am I saying that? So we don't write people off. So we don't just make judgments, okay? We need to have a lot of wisdom and a lot of discernment in the days that we are in. A lot of wisdom and discernment, okay? A lot. Because there's a lot of mixture as well, okay? And we've just got to be open to how God wants to work and move in our nation, okay? That's all I'm saying, all right? So please don't walk around. Well, I'd encourage you not to walk around talking to people saying, ah, that guy or those people, ah, they're not really Christian. Ah, they're just doing that. Ah, they're just doing that. Let's not do that sort of thing. Come on. Let's instead say, Father, thank you, you're doing something. Yes. Something's going on in our nation. And it's a bit messy. It's a little bit out of the box. But it's like you're working, you're doing stuff. So, Father, thank you. You continue to move by your Spirit and sort out what only you can sort out. So what did... Let me just read this verse. This is well off what I'm going to talk about, but anyway. Just believe this is important. So a load of guys came to Paul one day and they were telling him, oh, there's people preaching Christ and, you know, their motives are wrong and this, that and the other. But what does Paul say here? He says, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. That's the Apostle Paul. Whoa, that doesn't fit my you know, black and white Christianity. That's a bit shady in the middle somewhere. That's the Apostle Paul saying, look, guys, what's he basically saying? Don't get caught up. Don't get caught up on, well, they're kind of, some of these people are right over there politically. They're not where I'm at, or they're this and the other. And they're trying to preach in Christ and all that. But what is, it's a bit murky and it's a bit, you know, at this moment, let's not discount what God is doing. What's happening with some people? Amen. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to continue to do what he's doing. Right, so we've got to hurry up. So stop slowing me down. Right, so the counsellor. Another aspect of what this means in this wonderful counsellor is he is always available. He's not limited like an earthly counsellor that only has a certain amount of time. Jesus, the wonderful counsellor, is always available, accessible, offering constant wisdom, direction and understanding. God's wisdom and guidance, his supernatural insight and strength enables us to overcome issues and problems so that his divine order comes into our lives. Amen. So he is described, Jesus is described as the wonderful counsellor. But then in John chapter 14, Jesus talks about another counsellor. And what does he say in John 14? He says this, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counsellor to help you and be with you forever. Verse 17, the first part, the Spirit of Truth. So Jesus is encouraging the disciples, look, I'm having to go away. I'm going to be going away. I'm not going to be with you and I'm going to have to leave you, but I'm going to give you another counsellor. Now, when you look at the Greek here, the word counsellor is paraclete, okay? But Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as paraclete and calls him another Greek word, allos, okay? A-L-L-O-S, which means another. Now, when he uses that word, Jesus is basically saying to these guys, now remember, we have the Bible. We understand what Jesus meant. But these guys, they didn't have the New Testament. So he's explaining things to them, and the words that he's using when he's talking to them, they understand because they already know you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You are the Son of God. And when he's saying, I'm not going to be with you, I'm going to be leaving you, and they're like, well, hang on a minute. How can you leave us? Don't go, don't go. He says, yeah, don't worry, guys. Don't be anxious because I'm going to send another counselor and he is going to be with you forever. And because of the words that he used there, they understood what he was saying. And what it means there is that I am sending another that is the same as I am. He is the same, how would you work? He is equal to me. And I'm going to send you and he's going to be with you. So Jesus is describing the Holy Spirit as God in those verses. And that's the one that we have on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus lives in us. So we have the wonderful counsellor in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us to enable us to walk and live in the way that God wants to. And what does the Holy Spirit do? In verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 2, it says this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed these things to us by his Spirit, and the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, and reveals them to us. How many of you want to know Jesus as the wonderful counsellor? Yes. His divine power bringing divine order in our lives. Amen. But it's connected with him being the Prince of Peace. We'll miss out Mighty God and Everlasting Father because we looked at some of those previous Sundays. So it then describes him as the Prince of Peace. This connects with being the wonderful counsellor. So the word Prince of Peace there, the word prince is the word Shah, S-H-A-R. That word means to rule and to govern. It means the commander, the leader, the captain, the chief. So when it's talking about him being the prince, so you know, often it's like, here's a baby coming at Christmas. Oh, he's lovely, he's cute, he's sweet, you know. But in the same verses, it's talking about him being the prince. He's the one who rules and governs. He's the commander. He's the leader. He's the captain. He's the chief. And the word Shah there means this: ruler of the highest rank who brings complete wholeness, harmony, and well-being, which is the word shalom, okay? And that then leads in. He's the prince of peace. And the word shalom there means to be complete, to be made whole, healthy, safe, secure, sound. It means to have total well-being, both internally and externally. Wow. What does it mean? It means to be reconciled with God. So him being the Prince of Peace enables us to be reconciled with God. That internal and external peace, this shalom, it transcends circumstances. So in Philippians 4, it says this, verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what's that saying? God's peace transcends circumstances, calms and overcomes fear and anxiety, and restores fractured relationships. God's supernatural peace goes beyond our natural understanding. How many of you know that verse well? The peace of God transcends. But that verse, that statement is in the context of something. Okay, it's not in isolation. So let's read the few verses before it, because living in the Prince of Peace and having his peace at work in our lives is in the context of a way in which God wants us to live. Okay, this is the way of peace in our lives. We're going to read. So Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7. Paul says this: rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, that's a command there, rejoice. Rejoice, or other translations, rejoice in all circumstances. I will say it again, rejoice. How many of you know that God, in and of himself, is not an emotion? He has emotions, right? And if we submit our emotions to the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean our emotions are like, just, you know, but if we're submitting our emotions to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is stable.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And our emotions then can be stable in the sense that we're not led, we don't live by our emotions. We live by the Spirit of God. So when something happens and there's an emotional response in our lives, and we can submit that emotional response to the Lord so that in the circumstance, he walks with us through it so that our emotions don't take us down and destroy us in some way. Are you there? So we're not denying on our emotions because God has given us. We're people, we're humans, right? But he says, rejoice in the Lord always. So that's a command. Now, to rejoice is a decision. Now, if everything's going great, and you feel on top of the world, okay? It's easy to rejoice, isn't it? Because your emotions, you're emotionally connected with, oh, things are going great. God is amazing. Things are brilliant. Oh, hallelujah. You don't even make a decision to do that because everything in you is like, oh, God's brilliant. He's amazing. Look at what he's doing in my life. Look at what happened. He's, oh, thank you, Lord. I praise your name. But Paul is not talking in that context. Because it's easy when things are going good. But what he's saying, hey, when stuff's tough, when life is just going on, if we want to live in this peace, this is what you need to do. Rejoice in the Lord always. Then what does he say? This might sound, how does this fit? He then says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Wow. What is gentleness in this context here? Let your gentleness be evidenced. The word there, gentleness, is let your kindness. Let your benevolence be evident to all. Now that fits with what we talked about with Cornelius and Peter. It's important in the midst of everything going on in our nation at the moment and all the stuff that can take you down rabbit holes, that we continue to exalt the Lord. Father, I'm going to keep my eyes on you, because that's what rejoicing does. It fixes your eyes on him. And you rejoice over what is going on in your life. Sometimes you have to do it with gritted teeth, right? When stuff's a challenge, when things are going on and you feel everything's against you, sometimes to lift your hands and go, Jesus, you're worthy, you're mighty, you're awesome. It's not easy sometimes, is it? But I'm just going to do this because you're still the same as when everything was going great, and in the midst of the challenge, I'm still going to worship you, still going to praise you. Sometimes it doesn't come out in exuberant shouts of praise. Sometimes it just starts with a, Father, man, I'm under the weather. Stuff is going on. This is tough. This is hard. I don't know which way to go, but Jesus, in the midst of this, I choose to exalt you. I choose to lift your name. I choose to lift your name. So that everything going on comes under your lordship, comes under your name. Jesus, everything in me, Jesus, is all over the shop. I'm for whatever, but I still choose to praise you, still choose to honor you. And sometimes that's what it's like. And rejoicing isn't just spin round like a top and all of that. Sometimes rejoicing is literally just going, I love you. You're worthy. Father, this is our work. What's going on in my life? But you're still the same and I love you. I thank you you're here with me. You're in the midst. What are you doing? You're rejoicing in him. You're rejoicing in him. Then it says, let your evidence, let the kindness. What's Paul saying? In the midst of challenge, just continue to release the nature and the character of Christ. Don't react. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Why? Because the Lord is near. I love that. Sometimes God seems a way away when stuff is going on. But actually, thank you, Father, you're here. You are near. You are in me. I love you. The Lord is near. Then in that context, what does he say? Do not be anxious about anything. But what do you do with that though? But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Amen. So what's Paul saying? You know, when there's strife, anxiety, there's fear, all of that, what do you do? Don't, because the enemy always wants us to shy away from God. When stuff is going on or you feel anxious or there's whatever's happening, sometimes you feel like, oh, I don't know if I can come to the Lord and it's all over the place and everything else. It's at those moments that Paul is saying, no, draw near to him. Draw right there, because he's your Father. He's your Father. He's your loving Father. Draw near to him. And in those moments, it's like, Father, I just want to give you all the anxiety. I give you the turmoil that's going on here. Father, this strife that's going on or whatever's happening, Father, I just give you all of that. Father, I just thank you. In this moment, I praise you, I exalt you. I thank you, Jesus. And what begins to happen? See, Paul understood the reality of this. He had loads of opposition. People would come against him. I don't know how many times people tried to stone the guy, beat him up and all sorts. And so he learned this as a living reality in his life. It wasn't just a bit of theology that he thought, oh, this would be a good idea to write that for Christians in the future, you know, that are going to read it. And yeah, that's a bit of knowledge in your head. He's like, no, guys, this is the living reality. I'm facing trials and opposition and death threats all the time. And so what I've found is if I choose to rejoice in the Lord always, if I continue to let his loving kindness work through my life, knowing that he's near me, I can give him every anxiety, every opposition, every attack, everybody that's deserting me, or because he had guys deserting him, going off and then doing stuff against him. It's like, and whatever else was happening, let alone that. He was like, I can give you all anxiety, and with every prayer I petition, I give this to you. And that's when this happens. The peace of God, which then transcends all of that, under all of the circumstances, all of the stuff going on. Listen to this. The peace of God, which then transcends all of that lot, will guard your heart. Will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You see, if you do this, it'd be very, very difficult to take offense towards other people. If you do this, it's very difficult to stay in a place of unforgiveness towards people. When we do this, the peace of God, Him, the peace, comes, and anxiety seems to, wow, something's changing, something's shifting, because the one who is peace, we're giving Him that place. And so sometimes we just say to the Lord, oh, Father, just would you give me peace? Would you give me peace? I just need your peace. Father, would you give me peace? And it's like the Apostle Paul's written something here from his lived reality experience of knowing God in the reality of life, saying, guys, if you want the peace of God to transcend all the stuff that will then guard your heart and keep you and your mind and keep you with a sound mind, the right way of thinking in the midst of stuff, and will guard your heart from being corrupted in any way, keep rejoicing. Keep lifting His name high. Keep that loving kindness flowing through your life, because the Lord is near. He's with you. He's in you. He's not far away. Whatever comes your way, continue to give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. He's big enough to take it. He's big enough to handle it. He's big enough to take it. He's big enough to be with you and walk with you through everything. And the peace of God, the peace of God, the shalom of God, the well-being of God. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. What does the peace of God do? It restores all things, heals brokenness in the world, bringing restoration into individuals' lives. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. His peace is beyond earthly rule. His peace is not enforced by conquest like earthly rulers, but His peace comes with His sacrificial love, establishing His kingdom of peace, of salvation and harmony in the hearts and lives of people. Don't you love Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Well-known verse at Christmas, Luke 2:14-13, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts, we're going to hear this tonight, appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to those on whom His favour rests. The word for peace there in that scripture is, it's E-I-R-E-N-E. Sounds like Irene, but Irene or something, right? Irene. It means tranquility. It means the word repose, which means to be at rest. It means to be calm, to have harmony, to be untroubled, to be undisturbed, to have God's well-being. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. His rest, His calm, His harmony, His undisturbed well-being. His peace is the object of divine promise that is brought about by God's mercy, granting deliverance and freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin and the challenges of life. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you're here with us right now. He is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. There might be anxieties, fears, troubles, woes, opposition, turbulence, whatever might be going on in your life at this moment. There's enough stuff just going on in the nation, the news reports about all kinds of different things happening. There seems to be an increase of a load of people last night were murdered. I think it was in Florida somewhere. Again, a gunman just going nuts. There's all sorts of things kicking off. And in the midst of the world that is in turmoil and chaos and has no real peace, we have the one who is peace in us. And as his people, part of the responsibility as believers is to take that peace to those that don't have it. But we want to start in our own lives first. And so whatever's going on, I just want to encourage you for the next few moments to make a decision to rejoice in the Lord. Just rejoice in the Lord. That doesn't mean you have to shout loud and get all noisy. It might literally just mean, Father, I'm going to lift my hands right now in the midst of this circumstance, in the midst of this situation. I choose to rejoice. I choose to praise you right now. I choose to praise you. Thank you as the wonderful counselor. You bring your divine power in my life to bring divine order so that your peace transcends all understanding, all the circumstances, so that that peace guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. So, Father, I choose to exalt you right now. There might be a situation you want to see change and you need to see a change. It could be a family member, friends, whatever it might be. There's stuff going on and you need to see a change. It's like, Father, I just exalt you over their lives right now. I exalt you over what's going on in me about that right now. Some of the burden that I feel, some of the angst, whatever it might be, I choose right now. I exalt you, Jesus, over. I exalt you over them, over me, over this situation. And in the midst of that, Father, I want to continue to demonstrate that gentleness, your loving kindness. That's who I want to be, Father, in the midst of this situation. I don't want to get annoyed or frustrated or whatever it might, you know, whatever it might stir up. Jesus, I choose to exalt you, to fix my attention on you, so I'm not consumed with the situation, but I'm more consumed with you. Some of you, for sickness diagnosis and symptoms in your body, just believe and encourage you right now, just lift your hands and exalt the Lord. Father, I exalt you over the symptoms in my body. I exalt you over the symptoms in my body. I thank you that you are my healer. I thank you, you are my healer. I exalt you, Jesus, right now. I thank you for your, as I exalt you, I thank you, your peace transcends the symptoms. It transcends the circumstances. And I thank you in the midst of that, you guard my heart and my mind so the enemy doesn't have a hook to get a hold of to reel me in into fear or into panic or whatever. But actually, I stay in a place of peace, knowing that you are with me because you are near, according to your word there, and you're my healer. You're my health, and you're my wholeness. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just want to encourage you to, whatever you're doing, to verbalize your response this morning. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your wonderful name. We praise your wonderful name. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you. We praise you. We praise you, we praise you, we praise you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Father, we bring every trouble, every challenge, every circumstance, everything that seems to be not going well, we bring that under your lordship as we exalt your name right now. And I thank you that the peace of God is a resting place. I thank you for that resting place in me, the great rest, as it were, in me, that I'm seated in you and I'm seated on that in that seat of the great rest right now. In the midst of the circumstances, that I walk in it and through it in a place of rest and peace. And you know, when you're in a place of peace and rest, it's a lot easier to hear the Lord. than if you've gone at 150 miles an hour in your mind with all everything going on. Oh, there's this, there's that, there's oh, God, where are you? Where are you? And he's like, I'm here. I'm right here. Just give it to me. Just exalt me over it, over your life. Exalt me, exalt me. Give it to me, give it to me. And let my peace, the person of peace, rise in you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your peace in each of us now. You know, just because there's peace there doesn't necessarily mean the circumstances change, but how you walk in it and walk through it change. And because you walk in it and through it in a place of peace, that then affects the circumstances around you as you continue to exalt the Lord over the situation, over the people. We thank you, Father. We praise your name. Father, I just thank you for anybody here today that doesn't know you, or anybody here that feels like I've gone away from the Lord, but I've come here today and I'm not sure, I just know I had to come today. If that's you today, I just want to take a moment to give you the opportunity just to talk to the Lord and respond to him if you haven't already. God wants you to come back into that place of peace and rest. For those that don't know Jesus here today, God wants you to come into the one who is peace today. And in that peace, there is forgiveness. In that peace, there is purpose. In that peace, there is hope. And maybe you want to just talk to the Lord. Maybe start with Lord and say that. Because part of giving your life to Jesus or coming back to him is to say, I want you to be Lord. I want you to be in charge. I want to give my life to you so that, as we heard earlier, so that you're Lord of my life, so I can walk with you and follow you and know you and develop relationship with you. Maybe just start there. Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. And so therefore, I give you my life right now. I ask you to forgive me for doing things my way without any regard for you. And I ask you to forgive me. Would you cleanse my heart and my life from sin and everything that separates me from you? And I give you my life. And I ask you to give me yours. Come and live in me by your Spirit. Come and live in me so I may know you and live in this wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, I've been hearing about today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray for anybody who's responding like that this morning, that you meet with them right now in their heart and their life. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. If you responded in any way like that, you've prayed, I'd love to chat with you afterwards. Just feel free, come up and have a chat. Others will be here as well. There's a few of you. Just come and chat. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you, and just help you just really take your next step, your first step with Jesus and what that means in your life. Amen. Amen. How many of you love Jesus? Yes. Shall we just praise him? Let's thank him, shall we? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.